When have you suffered? Do you believe that Jesus understood your suffering? Was Jesus walking alongside you while you were suffering? Do we believe that we have a God who suffered just as we have suffered and knows the pain of our suffering?
Yes.
The way of suffering. The way of sorrows. Via Dolorosa. The uphill road. Most likely around 600 meters, close to half a mile, that Jesus carried his cross. A cross to his own crucifixion.
Thank you, Lord.
And I would consider this the least of his sufferings. This path marks 14 stations. Chapels, monuments mark the way, plaques to mark each one. And people visit this area each year to walk where Jesus walked, to remember his suffering, the way of the suffering, and just try to connect to Jesus in his final moments, some way. To understand some of the suffering that Jesus, as he walked this path. Station 4 is where they believe he saw his mother. As a mother, the heaviness of that, it almost overtakes me. One station along the way is where Jesus falls because he's so tired and exhausted and he can't carry his cross anymore. And someone has to come pick it up with him to take it to the place where he would suffer even more and be crucified on a cross. And this walk, this path, ends where Jesus is buried. Today, our scripture will walk us through the sufferings of Christ. To give us comfort that our God understands our suffering. And we get to find comfort in that, even in this. We're going to be in the scripture of Matthew 27, 22 to 31. Will you please stand with me as we read our scripture together and learn together? While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat." Nope, sorry, wrong scripture. That's a good one too, though. Matthew 27, verse 22. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and he washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." And all the people answered, "His blood is on us and our children." Oh. Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and then handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and they put a scarlet robe around him and they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. And they put a staff in his right hand and they knelt in front of him, mocked him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spit on him. They took the staff and they struck him on the head again and again. And after they had mocked him, they took off his robe and they put on his old clothes and they led him to be crucified. God, what a way for you to be suffering for us. Tortured, humiliated, and then crucified. Dying on the cross for the people who were beating you and spitting on you and humiliating you. You died for them. You had to stand there and watch your people scream to crucify you. Forgive us. We do not know what we do. But yet, even in the depths of our sin, you went to the cross and took that on while your Father watched in the suffering. Oh, Lord Jesus. This word is heavy today. And yet in this season, we are going to walk with you, journey with us, that we would find even comfort in this, knowing that you understand the suffering because you have been there too. You have literally walked this walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The crowds. Pilate stood before the crowds of the Jews. What should I do with this one called the Messiah? What should I do? And as Pilate is standing there and he's in front of all these people, he's very conflicted with this decision, and he keeps trying to persuade them in other ways, but he finally realizes he's not going anywhere, and these people aren't giving up. And so he literally washes his hands in front of them and sends him off to be flogged and to be crucified. But first, the soldiers are going to do a number on him and then send him to the cross to be crucified. Jesus knows suffering. Jesus knows suffering and understands when we suffer. Here, all the Jewish people in the crowds turn against Jesus, and they put Pilate in a very uncomfortable position, one that he doesn't want to be in. And he tries many different ways to get himself out of this predicament, many different ways. He appeals to Jewish leaders. He tries to pass the buck to Herod, but Herod just sends him back. And then he asks the Jewish people again, why? What crime has he committed? And yet again, they yell louder, crucify him! Crucify him! And so Pilate has him flogged and crucified. And Roman floggings, they're not the same as if a Jewish person goes to the temple and they get flogged. No, no. There's no minimum of 40 lashes. That Roman guard can hit Jesus with that whip as many times as he wants to. And at the end of this lash, there's pieces of iron and glass that rip into his back and just tear open, where bones and organs literally are open to the elements. Many people who were flogged die. This is brutality at its worst. Had him flogged. And imagine in the crowds are moving and pushing, and you're in the middle of the crowd, and people are pushing you. And even if you're for Jesus, nobody can hear your voice because there's so much anger and hatred that they can't hear you over the crucify him. And you're getting frustrated and angry. But it just gets louder. And Pilate yells, I'm innocent of this man's blood. It's your responsibility. And the worst thing that you could hear next were the people around you that you love scream, his blood is on us and our children. What? What are we doing? This is the Messiah. This is the one that we just had palm leaves down the to take on his blood? Why? What has he done? And so Jesus' suffering doesn't end there. His suffering doesn't end at the flogging, the Roman flogging. No, that was just the beginning. He gets sent to a company of soldiers, the governor's company of soldiers, which could have been as little as 200 or as many as 500, gathering around him. And they weren't there to play nice. Jesus, remember, is condemned to die, so they can do anything they want to him. They can beat him up, they can kick him, they can spit on him, they can play a game with him. He is nothing to them. He's going to be crucified. So they push down a crown of thorns on his head, and they take off his clothes, and they put a scarlet robe on him, and they hand him a staff. And they yell at him, King of the Jews! They even go as far as kneeling in front of him. Hail, King of the Jews! And then they took that staff and just beat him on the head with it. All fun and games. And then they put his own clothes back on him. Probably couldn't even recognize him at this point. And they let him out. They forced him to carry the cross that he would die on for them. And then Jesus suffered for our sins. Jesus understands what it is to suffer. He understands, because even after being whipped, tortured, humiliated, and carried his cross through this uphill road, exhausted, his body completely mutilated, most likely to the point of unrecognizable, Isaiah prophesied this, just as there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of a human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. You probably couldn't even tell it was Jesus anymore. Can you imagine being on the road and him walking past you thinking, is that the Messiah? What happened? Then he walked past his mother. Can you imagine not being able to recognize your son? And you know what I bet? He was looking at her, feeling sorry for her, for the pain she was going through. I'm sorry you're having to suffer this, Mom. I bet his eyes were like compassion, just like Peter. I'm sorry you have to see me like this. I'm sorry you don't recognize me. I'm sorry that you had to be the one that raised me up to die. I'm sorry. And the only thing that comes close to me is when I had to take my son Cameron to the doctor at UCSF, and they had to test him for his kidney, and they had to tie him down to this table with Saran wrap so he couldn't move his body, and then poke and prod him with an IV and a catheter. And for 30 minutes, I had to sit there and watch my son scream bloody murder, and I couldn't do anything about it. And when you watch your 3-month-old baby do that, I can tell you it's like pulling your skin apart. I mean, you just want to climb out of your skin and just grab the doctor and throw him against the wall. And that was what he needed. And yet I could barely keep myself together. 3 months old, he doesn't understand what they're doing to him. He doesn't understand that this is what's good for him. And then I think of God watching his son. God could do anything. God could stop the beatings. He could go down there and crush those Romans like ants. And he can say, get away from my son, but he didn't. Instead, he watched every single whip rip the backside of his son and the blood come down, and he watched them beat him and humiliate him and get on their knees. He watched them hand him a scepter that they would beat him on the head with, and they watched him push down thorns on his head. God, our Father, watched every piece of that brutality to his one and only Son for us. There's something about that, church, that just breaks my heart. Because I could barely handle watching Cameron go through that. I can't, and that was for his own good. I can't even imagine what it would be like as a father to see his son go through that for somebody else. For the people who were literally torching him and spitting in his face. And then Jesus, being mostly close to death from the flogging and the beatings and exhaustion, carrying this cross, this tree that he would die on, falls to the ground and needs someone to come help him carry it the rest of the way. Jesus understands our suffering. And if you weren't sure about that before you came in here today, I bet you're sure now. Jesus understands. So I'm going to ask you again, when have you suffered? Do you believe that Jesus understood your suffering? Was Jesus walking alongside you while you were suffering? Do you believe that you have a God who suffered just as you suffered and knows and understands your pain? We have a Messiah, Christ, who suffered. He knows suffering better than any of us, and he suffered before carrying the cross down the Via Dolorosa. This was after torture, after humiliation. We have a God who understands because he watched his own son suffer. We have a God who loves us that much that he watched his son be tortured and brutally mutilated by the men that he would die for. The creator of the universe. He chose to suffer and die for us. We, church, each and every one of us, we get to find comfort in this story. We get to find comfort knowing that God knows and understands when we suffer. I'm going to say that again. We can find comfort in knowing that our God knows and understands when we suffer. Deanna is going to come up and sing a song for us. And while she does, as she's singing this song, I'm going to ask you to please close your eyes. And if there is someone here today who says, I need to know this Jesus, this Messiah, is my Savior, and you would like to come up here and ask Jesus into your heart, you are welcome to do that. If there is someone here that says, I just need to give more of myself and you want to walk into that sanctification story with Jesus Christ today, I want you to come up while she sings this song. Everybody's eyes are going to be closed, so you can do it at your own privacy, and I will pray for you. There are people who will pray for you. If you are in a place that you are holding a huge heaviness of suffering, and you just need a break, and you need someone to hold it for you for a minute, will you come up here, and we will pray for you. Those who are community spiritual leaders who come forward so you can pray with these people who are coming to the altar. Just come sit up front so you can pray with them, Paul and Susan. Thank you, Elizabeth. Please come forward. As Deanna sings, just close your eyes, and if you are someone who needs to come here and just let this burden go, please do that this morning.
In Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see a man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon him. Los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús, mas la gente se acercaba para ver a que llevaba aquella cruz. Por la vía dolorosa.
Dear God, thank you for this opportunity today to walk alongside those who are suffering, to remind them there is comfort in our Heavenly Father who has suffered first, who has walked this path of suffering and still loved those he saw who were suffering for him. God, we can find comfort in that. Lord Jesus, we pray for those who came up today to just pray for just some relief from that, or to find their Savior again because they were reminded of how much he loves them. So God, I pray right now for us to remember that as we leave here today. We are not alone. He goes before us. He is behind us, carrying us when we need him to. God, you are so good. May we call upon you this week when we need burdens lighter. Help us be transformed by this scripture today, Lord. And lead us to share this new hope and comfort with those all around us, that they may see our burdens lighter and the joy that we find and comfort, knowing that Jesus suffered first and he understands and he knows. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is so good, isn't he? We get to go home in that comfort today. So leave here today and share that joy and comfort with everybody you meet. Amen.